Good morning, 7:42 here on the Mighty 690. It is time for our legislative update here, and we have Senator Virgil Peck in studio. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing great. You know, you said it's legislative update. There are some other shows where you call it Ask the Expert.
Ask the Expert. Yeah. We can't. I don't know if we can qualify you as that.
Maybe
if you slide me some money. You know, that comes up. I don't know.
Well, no. That under the table sliding of money.
But the problem is the table's so large. We can't reach.
That's right, but
we'll work on it.
Yeah. No. Well, if a legislator actually ever thinks they are an expert, then it's time for them to go home.
Yeah,
because I was telling a legislator who was brand new. I've had 15 sessions. If you ever stop learning up here, you need to go home.
Right.
Because there's a nonstop learning process.
Well, there's so much to. Yeah, I mean, you guys are privileged in being able to have folks come and testify on all these different bills and stuff to give you a little bit of insight into their world. I know this is a tangent, but I was watching a video last night on how they were laying undersea cables for telephone communication and stuff in the 60s. And I thought, it's just you have a big spool and you drop the cable in the water, right?
Well, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, but there's a lot more that goes into it. You got to bury it. They have these, and this is back in the day, but I mean, they had a lot, all this stuff that they had to do to bury it so that the nets wouldn't catch it and bring it up and everything. So it goes to show, I always say it all the time, but there's so much more that goes into everything than we realize.
Great point. And that's the thing. Legislators, sometimes people contact us on a topic, and I guess they think we're very knowledgeable on everything. Well, no, we just can't not be very knowledgeable on everything. We do have a basic knowledge of a lot of things, but that is the benefit and the necessity of having citizens come to the legislature and testify on legislation.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of which, what are some of the bills that have been moving around in the House that you want to talk about and that sort of thing?
Well, speaking of which,
from the House to the Senate.
Speaking of which, you are correct. Yesterday, we had some Montgomery County gentlemen in Topeka to testify on Senate Bill 58. Senate Bill 58 is a bill that I authored and sponsored, and it's got bipartisan sponsors, but it would allow for disabled veterans who are disabled because of their military service to have a sales tax exemption. It would be very similar to what Oklahoma does for their disabled veterans. So if you're a 100% disabled veteran, and we can get this legislation through, you would have a sales tax exemption on your purchases except for your automobile. But I was really pleased to have some gentlemen from Montgomery County up to testify, and I'm not going to start naming names because I would miss one, but one young guy, Jesse was his name, I heard after the fact because the fact he was young, he was dressed in his VFW hat and so forth, and he was not polished in his testimony. But those are really, James, the kind of testimonies that have more of an impact than when a legislator gets up and can go through the bill in detail and answer every question. Those other individuals, they're the ones who really impact. So back to what we were talking about, people coming up and testifying. Next week will be a big week for the House Tax Committee. I mention that because the Senate has already weighed in on several pieces of legislation, and we've got local legislators who serve on the House Tax Committee. On Monday, they will look at eliminating the sales tax on groceries. Actually, it says food and food ingredients, but that's groceries. As it went over from the Senate, it is a total elimination. And James, I'm confident that most people are under the impression that Kansas legislature is discussing a total elimination, going to zero on sales tax on groceries. That is not current law. Even though it's phased out, it is only the state portion. You would still pay the local portion, which is in round numbers in most places about 3%. So you'd still pay 3% sales tax. However, the legislation that went over to the House, which is Senate Bill 248, would eliminate all sales tax. Now, we have some proposals we're looking at. I have been in on several discussions with leadership as to how we might could make local units of government, cities and counties, whole for lost sales tax revenue. Now, we may not make them whole, but we can at least offset any losses.
Now, are the so just to help me understand a little bit, so that local money, is that voted on at the local level on how much sales tax they're going to garner from the from groceries, or who actually sets that? So the state has a say basically in how that money is, how the tax is collected, or just help me understand that a little bit, the that local portion.
Sure, absolutely. The state legislature determines what items in the state of Kansas are sales taxable. When a local unit of government determines a sales tax rate, that's all they're doing, is determining a sales tax rate.
Okay.
And so sales taxable items are taxed by the local units of government. The legislature has in the past eliminated the state portion of sales tax and allowed local units to determine if they want to continue charging sales tax on some items.
Gotcha.
So it's because I've had people say, well, you can't do that. The people have voted to tax groceries. Well, no, they didn't vote to tax groceries. They voted to have a sales tax on sales taxable items. So this legislation would make it so groceries are not a sales taxable item. Also on Monday, the House Tax Committee will look at Senate Bill 169, which would create a single income tax rate. Currently, we have three income tax rates. Okay, it depends on how you want to say it. We've got four. 0, 3.1, 5.25, and 5.7. This would go to one, or if you want to say two, zero, I guess, is actually a number. But we would have a 4.75 income tax rate. So the more you make, the greater your savings. But no one, absolutely no one, would see a tax increase with the proposal as it left the Senate. Now, these two together, you're looking at, of course, the food sales tax is currently scheduled to phase out for the state in 2025, but you're looking at nearly $780 million in cuts to revenue to the state. Personally, that's fine by me. We're leaving it in the pockets of Kansas citizens. Let them determine it. But we've got another one that the House Tax Committee will be looking at on Tuesday. So those first two are Monday. Then on Tuesday, they will look at Senate Bill 33. Senate Bill 33 eliminates the income tax on Social Security and retirement income. Not phased out, just eliminates it in tax year 2024. So we shall see what the House decides to do. The Tax Committee will weigh in. They will determine what they want to do. They may amend it, then it will go to the House floor. And then if it's different, which I expect it to be different, it will go to conference and we'll end up with some type of a product. Something that happened just yesterday, fresh off the press, is the Kansas Senate passed on a 28-11 vote House Bill 2238, which will provide for, or it's called the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Simply stated, this will keep males, boys, even if they say they're a girl, because they're not, they're still a boy. Anyway, it will keep them out of girls' sports, out of girls' locker rooms and restrooms as it relates to sports. We have other legislation that has passed the Senate that defines what a woman is that keeps males out of female spaces, dressing rooms, locker rooms, restrooms, etc. Now, I bring this up for two reasons. One, it's fresh. It happened about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Passed the Senate. 28-11, that is veto-proof. Now, the House had previously passed this legislation 82-40, which is two votes shy of being veto-proof. And interestingly, there was a Democrat on the House side who stepped up and said, I'm going to protect girls from males. But we'll see what the governor does. The governor promised, at least that's what I heard, and that's what most Kansans heard during the campaign, that she does not support men participating in girls' athletics. So we shall see. Was that campaign rhetoric, or did she have a change of heart? Or, well, I could say some other things. I just won't rag on the governor right now, but we'll give her opportunity to see what she does
so,
with
yeah,
that legislation.
So, yeah, it does go to her desk next. And now, I think Arkansas recently passed something similar to this.
Well, honestly, I'm paying attention to Kansas politics.
Sure.
I apologize.
Yep. No worries. But yeah, so we'll see kind of where that goes after that.
We'll see if she, she's got 10 days once it hits her desk. And it won't hit her desk probably till Monday.
Now, you say it's veto-proof on the Senate side, but not the House side. What exactly does that mean? Just a refresher there.
Sure. two-thirds majority of the Senate and two-thirds majority of the House mm-hmm. can override a veto. In the Senate, two-thirds majority is 27. We got a vote to spare. Mm-hmm. And we had one senator pass, which we could force that senator to vote. We didn't. We had the votes we needed. On the House side, they need 84, which is two-thirds, to override a veto. They're real close. So could they squeeze a couple members to vote the right way to protect girls? Which it amazes me, James, that where in the world are the feminists on this issue? Why are those, is that group not stepping up and saying, hey, we want to protect girls. We want to protect women. Title IX was fought long and hard for back in the early 70s. I don't know if you remember the early 70s or not. I do. But no, I know you don't. But when Title IX was passed, it provided opportunities for young ladies as it relates to equality in sport activities. Make certain that they have activities as well. So we'll see. We'll know. I honestly expect by next week when you visit with Representative Bryce, I think we'll come in. He can probably tell you what the governor has or has not done.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. We'll watch it.
It will be. I find it interesting, and it relates to Kansas, although it is an Oklahoma vote. The Oklahoma voters voted overwhelmingly in opposition to legalizing recreational marijuana. When you look at the county chart, James, every county voted no. Now, Oklahoma County, which is Oklahoma City, was basically split even. Tulsa was fairly close, but it still passed sufficiently. But most counties, so when it votes, when the vote was, what was, I think, 61% no to 39% yes, approximately, that's overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
And so the reason I bring this up is there is discussion in the state of Kansas about legalizing marijuana, municipal marijuana, for medical purposes. But Oklahoma has shown that the way they did it was wrong, and I think that's one reason that it failed, because there's a pot shop on every corner in Oklahoma. So Kansas will be looking at that. I don't think it's got much of a chance at all, but particularly with the Oklahoma vote, it kind of shows that most citizens are kind of deciding marijuana is really not the way to go.
Sure, and obviously, you know, they did it as a special election, which is great to, you know, let voters have a say. But, you know, an election like that does come at a cost, too. You know, that's not a free thing to put on a vote like that.
You're right. It costs a lot of money to put on a statewide measure.
Just for one question.
Just for one question. And I think there was somewhere around 25, 26% of Oklahomans voted, mm-hmm. registered voters voted. So it was a respectable turnout. But nevertheless, the voters of Oklahoma have voted. And so that will impact some of the discussion in Kansas.
Yep.
And speaking of marijuana, that is a bill that's in the Federal and State Affairs Committee. We won't be talking about that on Monday, but I will have the opportunity to serve one day on the Senate Federal and State Affairs Committee. We have a member that's going to be gone, so they asked me to fill in. And what we will be looking at on Monday is an Article 5 Convention of States. This would put Kansas to join the call for a convention of states to amend the United States Constitution. And this amendment that we will be looking at, or this call, will be looking at two things. One, to place fiscal restraints on the federal government, basically require them to have a balanced budget and start to eliminate some of our federal deficit, or not deficit, debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because, James, it's absurd. It is ridiculous where we are at right now. $31 trillion and moving up extremely fast. Also, the call for a convention of states would be to implement term limits in Washington, D.C. That's a pretty lengthy process. Amending the United States Constitution is challenging, difficult, and it should well be. We don't want to just amend the Constitution willy-nilly, but if two-thirds of the, it can be done two ways. One is two-thirds of the Congress, the U.S. House and U.S. Senate, vote to amend the Constitution, then they can amend the Constitution by two-thirds vote. The other way, which is Article 5, and that's the way that most of the time it has been accomplished, is if two-thirds of the state legislatures call for a convention, and two-thirds of the state legislature is 34, call for a convention. There will be a convening of a convention for the purpose of amending the Constitution of the United States.
And is that has that ever been done before that you know of?
My understanding is it has, mm-hmm. but not recently.
Yeah, sure.
And then once the convention has convened and proposed amendments, then there's another difficult step, and that is to get 3/4 of the state to ratify the amendments. So if 3/4 of the states ratify an amendment, which is 38 states, mm-hmm. so 34 call for a convention, then 38 have to ratify any amendments, and then the United States Constitution is ratified. And so it's a lengthy, drawn-out process. As a matter of fact, right now, there are constitutional amendments that are hanging out there. Kansas has in the past, and it's been some of them years and years ago, 50, 60 years or longer ago, has said, yep, we would adopt that amendment, but not enough states have.
Oh, okay.
And then Kansas has said no to some proposed constitutional amendments. So there, again, there are some hanging out there that could be dealt with, but they're old enough now that not likely to happen.
Sure.
But it'll be interesting for me to serve on the Federal and State Affairs Committee, particularly since we're talking about that particular topic of looking at amending the United States Constitution. But again, this is just a call for an Article 5 Convention of States.
Well, that'll be interesting. Well, any final thoughts as we wrap up here?
Well, I am interested to hear from listeners and constituents on something that the House passed. The House passed legislation fairly close, 68 to 53, to increase the legal age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21. I tend to support that idea because smoking is not good for anyone health-wise. But I haven't made up my mind yet. So we shall see if I hear from people about increasing the legal age for purchasing cigarettes. The argument for is health reasons. Also, it would keep cigarettes or help to keep cigarettes out of high schools because some high school seniors are 18, 19 years of age and they have cigarettes. They give them to younger people. So,
and that would bring us in line with the federal guidelines or federal law, right?
Correct. It would bring us in line with federal, mm-hmm. and the federal government is handing out a bribe, is what I call it. They're incentivizing, I guess is the technical way, for states to increase the age to 21. However, we're told that there would be a loss of revenue, and I disagree with how much loss of revenue. So we'll see, but I'm just interested to hear what people think about changing the age on purchasing tobacco products.
Well, very interesting. Well, we'll leave it there. Senator Virgil Peck, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to next time.
All right, and we'll be back with more right after this.